all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Back with you for Monday, February 27th, 2023. Welcome to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Monday. For some of you, it might be the only hour of Up North News Radio. We had some technical issues during our first hour that kept us both off the radio and off the Up North News Facebook page. But we'll try to make up for that with a really good hour of programming here, in part because Kristen Lyerly is here. So, of course, you're going to have something good to take away from this anyway. Right?
Pat's like, we stumbled through the first hour, but this hour is going to be great.
This is the one, baby.
This we're going to be cheerful. It's going to be the best Monday ever. Let's do this.
You know, part of it is the sense of impending doom as I look out the window across the farm field here. And I don't know what that is on the driveway. If that's that growl that weather people like to talk about with a little, you know, freezing rain, sleet, whatever it is, but it's coming. It's coming. We've got a winter storm warning here for the day, and it's not going to be pretty on the road. So I just hope everybody's careful out there.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
This new term, this growl,
yeah.
Grapple, mm-hmm. whatever they're calling it. So, I grew up here. I've never heard this term before. Was I not paying attention? Is this a new term? Where did this come from?
I think that it was some weather people somewhere trying to sound smarter and take attention away from the times that they have missed the mark on the forecast, shall we say. So We throw this new term in, which again, we've called it, you know, freezing rain, freezing sleet, I think is probably the better way to put it. It reminds me that the Eskimos, I'm told, have like 42 different words for snow, you know, depending on what kind it is. And we just go snow, you know, and then we have to add later it's wet and heavy or it's light and fluffy or whatever the case may be. And we just didn't come up with, you know, growl and 41 other words to describe what it's like out there. We just say it's ugly. And
we're backtracking now.
Yeah,
exactly. With the growl.
Yes. Yep. We will hear more from weatherology meteorologist Jennifer Vichitsky coming up in just a few minutes here. Also, it's Motherhood Monday. So Kate and Nicole from Motherhood for Good will have information on what busy moms should know about April's school board races, the buzzwords you're likely to hear, and what it all really means. Plus Terry Bell with Three Things You Should Know. And Up North News, Christina Laurie has a new segment called The Uplift that we'll hear about in just a few minutes. Our phone numbers are 715-388-7155 or 844-967-2789. Or you can reach us by email radio at upnorthnewswi.com. In looking at some of the headlines that I wanted to share, I do want to take a moment to talk about the Lac-de-Flambeau controversy right now. And there's an issue with the Lac-de-Flambeau Band of Lake Superior Chippewa having a road dispute with the adjoining town. It's been going on for nearly a month now. So let me give you a little background to make the point that at a time when we need cooler heads and negotiations, and all of that needs to be accelerated, all that talking to one another, someone who should be facilitating talks to resolve the matter has predictably thrown gas on the fire and is working overtime to make a tense situation worse. But before we get to the latest foolishness from Congressman Toxic Tom Tiffany, let's give a little history. The Lac-de-Flambeau Reservation is not a solid block of contiguous and sovereign land, although it should be. The problem is based in large part on a law passed in 1887 that made it easier for the federal government to break its promises and break up the tribal land into smaller pieces and sell it off to tribal members individually. And you might think, hey, is that such a bad thing? But here's the thing. Those individuals could then sell off that parcel of land to somebody else, and it no longer belongs to the sovereign nation of the tribal community. In fact, from 1887 to 1934, Native Americans lost control of about 100 million acres of what had been their land. It created a Swiss cheese situation where non-Indians owned parcels surrounded by tribal land. So how do they get to that land with permission without trespassing on the reservation? By creating an easement, a corridor, a permission slip, where the tribal nation is compensated as a way of permitting access across their land. At Lac du Flambeau, easement agreements existed for many years, but then they expired, and they expired in 2010. Since then, the Lac du Flambeau have tried to work out a new deal, but there have been a lot of cooks in the kitchen. Beyond the tribe and the individual landowners, there's the federal government's Bureau of Indian Affairs, title companies representing some of those individual parcels of land. And the Lac du Flambeau said that after more than a dozen years of foot dragging with the tribe uncompensated for the easements, their only option to get everyone else in the kitchen to take the matter seriously is to shut down access along those easements. Now, doing so, blocking the people who are literally your neighbors, is not great optics, but they can't block access for BIA bureaucrats or title company lawyers, so that's where we're at. The tribe is setting a high dollar amount for resolution. The town has come back with a much lower number. The Bureau of Indian Affairs, according to news reports, appears to have been missing in action with the appraisal information that could help all sides reach a reasonable dollar amount. Governor Evers has visited. He and Tammy Baldwin have sent a letter to the Secretary of the Interior asking the federal government to step up their help. So who's making a tense situation worse? The congressman from the 7th District, Toxic Tom Tiffany, sent a letter to tribal leadership, basically insulting the tribe and saying that the longer the roadblocks remain in place, the more likely policymakers will be to pursue a legislative option. And what he means by that is the kind of thing that policymakers did back in 1887. We'll take a break. We will get the weather update. We'll have the uplift with Christina Laurie, and then Motherhood Monday still coming up for Up North News Radio on this Monday. We are going to get the uplift from Up North News newsletter editor Christina Laurie coming up in just a sec. But first off, it's an ugly day in parts of western Wisconsin. It's going to get uglier. We're going to find out the details on it and then get a look at the outlook for the week here across Wisconsin with weatherology meteorologist Jennifer Vachitsky, who joins us on this Monday morning. Jennifer, good morning. How are you?
Doing pretty well, thanks. How are you?
Well, we're doing all right. Like I said, we're just, I've been watching on the radar as the sleet, you know, starts to move closer, what's Graupel? Is it Graupel? How do you pronounce that? We were talking about that before.
It's Graupel. Yes. You had it right.
Okay. It's kind of a freezing sleet, freezing rain thing.
It's essentially kind of like a super, super tiny little, hailstone. And the way you can determine the difference between like sleet or freezing rain and Graupel is that Graupel actually bounces, whereas sleet doesn't.
Oh, well, there we go. The bounce test. I've got this.
Bouncing Graupel.
Yes.
This is great.
See?
Thanks, Jennifer.
See, Kristen, you learned something.
Sure.
That's great. Jen, tell us more about the storm that's hitting us right now and then where we're going from here.
Yeah, so kind of a lot happening throughout the state right now. So there's actually a low pressure system off to the northwest in Canada, bringing in a warm front here, and then another low off to the southwest, just in southwest Iowa, and that's going to go across the border from Wisconsin to Illinois later today. And so things a little bit different from the southern portions of the state to the central and northern portions. So a lot of the southern portions really not expecting to see any kind of advisories, but they're expecting to see some areas of rain holding pretty steady around about the upper 30s, around 40 with rain chances today, and then lingering in the low 40s for the next couple of days. So that's going to be a little bit closer towards the border. And then slightly farther to the north, we'll see winter weather advisories around Oshkosh, Appleton, Sheboygan, Green Bay. So with that, some areas of freezing rain, sleet, and snow mixing with about 1 to 3 inches of snowfall possible to accumulate today. Then the rest of the state looks like it's actually got a winter storm warning today. So that's going to be the central and northern portions of the state, Wisconsin Rapids, Wausau, looking like they'll have that freezing rain, sleet, and snow mix for at least the morning hours and more of a chance for some snow in the afternoon, maybe mixing with some sleet in the afternoon. 1 to 2 inches of snowfall actually possible. possible, a little bit farther to the west of Amory and Baldwin, looking at a good chance for freezing rain primarily in the morning hours, mixing with some rain chances, then a chance for rain and snow mixing in the afternoon. Not much accumulating snow for this, but it looks like the primary concern will be the areas of slick conditions due to the ice on the ground in those western portions. Temps for these areas hovering right around about freezing and lingering, so that's why they're expecting to see more of those chances for some freezing rain, sleet, and like you mentioned, even some grapple in certain areas as well. And that's going to, and then lingering right around about the mid to upper 30s for the next couple of days going in, with a few chances for some snow chances Tuesday night into Wednesday. So, well, not quite done for with the winter weather just yet, but again, in the southern portions of the state, not really looking at any advisories, Madison, Waukesha, and Milwaukee. But then as you get to the central and northern portions, we'll see those winter weather advisories and winter storm warnings coming in. Primarily, again, the storm warnings with the areas of ice accumulating and maybe some areas of 1 to 2 inches of snowfall is going to be the bigger parts of the concern.
All right. So drive with care where you have to, and don't drive where you really should not. Jennifer Vachitsky, sorry. Thank you so much. We appreciate you rolling with the punches and defining weather terms for us. And we hope you have a good Monday.
Thanks so much. You too.
All right. Take care. Kristen, we reached out to Christina Lori, my colleague at Up North News. She is very much from the camp of there's enough bad news out there around the world that we need to carve out some time to remind people of some of the good that's happening out there. And so we've invited her to, you know, be part of our Mondays to, you know, look ahead to the week to come and, you know, share some good stuff that is happening around it. And I had a chance to talk with her a little bit earlier, and let's hear how she had an outlook for the week. And it leads to a pop quiz for everybody as we start the week about Girl Scout cookies. And so Christina Lori joins us now with the uplift and helps us not think about the stories that are dragging us down day after day, but things that give us a little bit of hope and look at the sunnier side of life mostly. But we have a wrinkle in our first story. Christina, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? It's not too hard of a job, right?
It's a great role. It's just that sometimes the best laid plans, I mean, when we talk about things that make us happy, you know, one of the things we wanted to talk about was Giannis Antetokounmpo. And, you know, that makes sense. He's a delightful person, but he also has what I would call he injured his wrist the other day. So we're on wrist watch. I don't have a rim shot to play, but anyway, regardless, you know, Giannis is still somebody that makes us feel good, and he's somebody who's been an MVP, and maybe there's a local connection if we can get him to win that trophy again. You want to tell us about it?
I know. Well, first, we're hoping for his wrist to heal, because he was, like, in the most recent ratings. I mean, he's fresh off of that All-Star team win. Team Giannis beat Team LeBron for the first time ever, and now he's one of the final contenders, still in the running for that MVP trophy. And what's really neat about it this year is that it was made in Milwaukee. And it's the first year that they're calling the MVP award the Michael Jordan Trophy. And so this local Milwaukee shop built the statue. It took almost a full year to make. And the statue, it's 23.6 inches tall and 23 pounds. Because, of course,
23 Jordan. Was Jordan's yes. number, of course. Okay.
Number. But it would just be, I mean, extra cool, right? If somebody from Milwaukee walked away with that trophy the first time.
And again, kind of solidify what an NBA friendly team Milwaukee has become with putting up the Fiserv Forum and getting Giannis. And then, of course, the NBA championship. You can't be in the Deer District and not feel good.
And something about Giannis, I know that, I mean, I brought up LeBron before. That was kind of the big disconnect between him and Cleveland, was that a lot of players, they get big and they want to go to one of those historic franchises. And it's their life. I mean, how do you say, like, yeah, you shouldn't go play for the Lakers, or you shouldn't go play for the Celtics, or, you know, whatever your team is. And for Giannis to have really doubled down and committed to the city of Milwaukee, think that's why he's just so beloved here. And if I know I'm supposed to be bringing the good news, but if you ever want to feel bad about yourself personally, just remember that Giannis is only 28 years old.
Yeah, I mean, both of my kids are older than that. So, but he has, which means he's the future's all his. And that's fantastic. The other story we want to talk about is to put out a red alert to everybody. Be warned, hang on to your checkbooks, but you're going to need them. It's Girl Scout cookie time. And I tend to spend a little too much on the Thin Mints. And what are they now? Caramel Delights or Samoas? Or do they use both those names still? I don't know, but they're the greatest cookie ever.
Well, you're right, because they do still use both of those names, and it depends on where you live and what your main bakery is. So here in Wisconsin, they usually call them Caramel Delights, not Samoas, and they call them Peanut Butter Patties, not Tagalongs, but it's all pretty much the same cookie. But across the majority of Wisconsin, I just want to clarify, because some specific troops start selling at different times, but most Wisconsin Scouts, their cookies go on sale starting this coming weekend. So you can find them. Every troop, also every council, sets their own prices. So they range between $4 and $7. The general standard across the state this year is $5, which it's always nice when it's that even number, right? Mm-hmm. It's like when you go to a baseball game and they charge you like $11.25 for a beer. It's like they're trying to get that extra money. So it's a solid $5. And what's interesting this year is there is a new cookie. It's called the Raspberry Rally. So if you like Thin Mints, it's very similar to that cookie. It almost looks exactly like it, except for instead of the mint undertone, it's a raspberry undertone. But one thing to know about that is that this is not your average Girl Scout cookie season still. That cookie is available exclusively through but you can, if you have a Girl Scout that you know, or you want to support your local troop, you just enter your zip code and you still purchase it directly from a scout, so that all of the proceeds help them and, you know, the camps that they go to, the programs that they do. But Pat, I have to ask you, because I talked to some Girl Scouts about this, and I was asking them, if they had the power to create any Girl Scout cookie they wanted, what would they come up with? And while you're thinking of your answer, I'll just give you a few creative ideas that they gave me.
Okay.
They told me that one of them wanted just like a classic chocolate chip cookie, which I think is really interesting, because they don't have that. Someone else wanted a white chocolate chip cookie, which I don't like chocolate, so I was totally on board with 9-year-old Sophie here. A lot of them wanted to bring back old cookies. There was a cookie called a mango cream not too long ago that someone wanted. And the one that stuck out to me that was pretty innovative, the Girl Scouts have this cookie called a lemonade. That's just like a lemon cookie with lemon frosting. She wanted to make a cherry cookie with pink frosting, and that would be shaped like two cherries, which I thought was pretty cute. That came from 10-year-old Corinne.
All right. You know, mine's not very imaginative. I just think of some of the other things that I really like. And for example, if you put a bowl of bite-sized Kit Kat candy bars in front of me, the bowl will empty. And I think, you know, using Kit Kat as a basis for a Girl Scout cookie would be downright dangerous for somebody like me. But remember, I'm also in Chippewa Falls, and, you know, they try to put beer into all kinds of, you know, you boil your brats in beer, and there's beer bread and everything else. So while it wouldn't have alcohol content, I could completely see, you know, like Liney's Honey Vice or Berry Vice or something tied into a cookie. You wouldn't really do that with a Girl Scout tied to a brewery. But if you're going to ask me what I do for a unique cookie, I'm going to go really unique on you. Now, did you end up with a personal favorite?
Well, what's unique about what you just brought up is that a lot of around this time of year, a lot of wineries, they publish the perfect cookie wine pairing. So I could see that totally happening out at Chippewa Falls, having beer cookie pairings. See, like, you know, which beer pairs best with Caramel Delights or Samoas or Tagalongs.
Needless to say, I'm going to be putting in a call to one John Leinenkugel after the segment and seeing if we can't make that happen at the lodge just down the street from here. Christina Laurie with The Uplift. Loving this new segment. Thanks so much. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day, everyone.
Good to have Christina telling us about The Uplift. And I mentioned before, I mentioned the Leinenkugel Brewery, and I should have told Christina at the time, I just finished this rather exhaustive history of the Leinenkugel Brewery. It was a book that was a gift, and would love to talk to John or Dick or Jake or maybe all of them about it if they'd like to at some point. Kristen, you've had time to think about it. Is there a favorite Girl Scout cookie and a Girl Scout cookie you'd invent?
Yes, I'm pivoting though because I want to talk about the Line and Kugel Brewery because I love it there.
Okay, well, look, it's our question of the week. We got the week. We're fine. We'll come back to that. What do you want to do with the pairings? You're liking the idea?
No, pairings, that's fine. I just want to go to the brewery. I want to hang out.
Oh, you just
want to
go.
It's
right over this way. I can hear the noon whistle from there every day.
It's such a great spot.
I can't get there today because there's grumple all over my driveway, which we now we learned the definition this hour. Grumple bounces. Sleet does not bounce. It's like bumbles, you know. Bumbles, they bounce. Bumbles and grumple. All right, we got to take a break. Motherhood Monday coming up next with Nicole and Kate from Motherhood for Good talking about school board elections. Kristen and I will hang around as well. That's all on the other side of this pause on Up North News Radio.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Tomorrow on the program, Hans Breitenmoser, a farmer up in Merrill area, will join us from Lincoln County to talk about the provisions in Governor Evers' budget proposal that would benefit rural economies, the rural infrastructure, rural schools, of course, the families and small businesses that do business all across the state. So be on the lookout for that about this time tomorrow. But that's this time tomorrow. Right now we're at this time today. And so Kristen Lyerly is here with us. Kristen helped connect me with our friends Kate Duffy and Nicole Slavin from Motherhood for Good. And they have brought in a guest as well, as they do every other Monday here. And to set this all up, well, first, let me say how rude of me. Good morning, ladies, to all of you. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. Look, the last couple of weeks, we have understandably talked a lot about the Supreme Court primary, but it is now time to transition to these school board races. In a simpler age, folks in a community valued their community schools. Others decided that private school was their preference, but then some politicians, decided to go a little further and frankly try just to kill off public schools. And now there's other folks who are running for positions on local school boards that are saying things that sound like they're supportive of public schools, but not necessarily, or at least support them on their terms, which leads to, you know, some unique buzzwords and phrases like parental rights and things. And so we wondered, how do you learn about your candidate locally? How do you learn about what people mean when they say this or that? And so Kate and Nicole are working on that from the standpoint of Motherhood for Good, which is aimed at, you know, helping busy moms understand political issues and make things more approachable. And we'll use some school board elections as an example. So Kate, Nicole, good morning to both of you again. And if you want to introduce the topic a bit more, fine. Otherwise, you can introduce your guest and we'll get rolling.
Absolutely. So yeah, I will just piggyback on what you said with school board races. We talk a lot about here at Motherhood for Good. People are very curious about them. We get probably the most questions about them. One reason being, I think they have become quite contentious. And then a second reason is, just like you said, it's a little bit harder to understand what candidates stand for. Just even find your candidates, dig into that a little bit. It's really all done at a local level and requires a level of really digging into that civic engagement and figuring out what's going on. So today we have Lynn Worley with us. She is a candidate running for one of the seats in the Wauwatosa School Board election. She's an associate professor at UWM, a co-founder of the group TOSA Together, and has three kids who attend schools in the district. Lynn, something you said in one of your videos on your website, which I love, is that schools are really in need of people who are passionately positive about them. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you chose to run for school board in Wauwatosa right now?
Sure. So thank you very much for inviting me to the show. I think that what was said in the introduction just really points to the idea that schools are a core part of our community. I feel that way for our family. We have kids in elementary, middle, and high school. And I've had the opportunity, besides being the typical parent who, you know, signs up for things and drops things off and participates at, you know, school events or goes on field trips. The last year and a half, I've had the opportunity to work a little more deeply with the school district because of my background in researching systems and systems change. And so I've been working with them on looking at some of the violence prevention tools that they have in the school, particularly restorative practices and restorative justice. And that got me a chance to work with staff and principals and really made me realize, even though I'd gone to school board meetings for a long time, some of the wider big challenges that are facing schools at this time and our district in particular. So building on that and on my community involvement, you mentioned TOSA Together, I helped to start the Equity and Inclusion Commission here and see that our schools have in Wauwatosa are making great strides in terms of inclusion and equity, but have a lot further to go. Those two particular issues have really drawn me into wanting to be part of this kind of position where I'm looking a lot more at policy and the big picture in the school district.
That's great, Lynn. One quick question, and I guess all of that is wonderful. And your positivity, I mean, I think that's a lot of what really resonates just researching, looking at your website, and then obviously the history and knowledge you bring to what you're doing. How do you counteract this, the negativity, I guess? Like, I feel like you can't even say inclusion or equality or bring up, you know, any kind of work in that space. Gender, I mean, that's triggering for the other side. Talk to us about how you navigate that and obviously the importance of it, but what you've seen and how you're navigating that.
Sure. Well, part of how I navigate it is to get even more granular and be very specific about what I'm seeing in the schools, what I'm hearing from the students, what I'm hearing from the parents. Because so many of these comments that are made or these ideas, they're terms. And they're big and they're meant to make people upset and angry and to trigger and to bring a whole bunch of baggage with them. So when I'm talking and working, we've just done a whole lot of meet and greets and open sessions recently. And it's really important, I feel, to talk about the real experiences that I've had and that people have told me about, posting also on my social media. So the grandfather who came to the door when I was knocking on doors a couple weeks ago and said, you know, if you're going to help take care of the kids who are LGBTQ, IA plus, if you're going to help that community, I'm there. I'm for you. So I have grandchildren. I want them to be in a school that accepts everyone. And so those are the kinds of comments or when someone else in the race says, oh, you know, kids are running crazy all over school. And I say, actually, I've been in the schools and there are definitely challenges, but the staff are doing a really good job. They just need some time to get the systems out and work them through. And we need to support them and do our part too as parents and as community members.
You're so right, Lynn. And as you're out talking with parents and with voters in your community, what kinds of things are they concerned about? What are they telling you?
Well, in our district, I think there are really a couple of main themes. One is that the scores from the state have come back recently, and we haven't had a lot of scores from the state. So seeing that our school district had a variety of different levels of success when it comes to state scores, have made people sort of pivot to the question of academic achievement and are we doing enough and are we leveraging the resources we have? Are we deploying them in the best ways? So that's one big theme that is an important one in our district. And I will say that I feel like our administration is on top of it as much as they can and getting more on top of it every day when I talk to them. It's just a really big challenge. Not just post-COVID, before that too, but COVID has definitely planted some additional challenges in the academic achievement area. And the second one is the whole concern around behavioral supports. We see that come out differently for different students. Some return to school after a long period of isolation, especially the younger ones. And so the schools are needing to really, and Wauwatosa is doing this, put in a lot of additional staff to work with kids on social emotional skills, along with skills around conflict and how to manage difference. Because in the time period that we were all isolated, our suburb became more and more culturally, socially, and economically diverse. And so when the kids go to school, schools don't look necessarily like their families do. And so we need a lot of adult support in the schools helping them to deal with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we don't need to get too into kind of your opponent or all of the people that are running in the race, but I know there are a couple of candidates that are more running as a conservative slate. appearing to seem more moderate, and using some of that language that Pat talked about at the beginning of the show that makes it really difficult for people to really understand what people really stand for. Lynn, do you have any tips for people who are trying to get more knowledgeable about school board races and different language, or things they should look for, and ideas of how they can really understand who they align with in terms of values?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, first of all, I'll say school boards are nonpartisan. They're supposed to be nonpartisan. Right. We represent everybody who is in the city. We're an at-large candidate. And that's a huge ask, because our larger social political context is not nonpartisan in any sense of the word. And Wauwatosa in particular has been a very purple place for a number of years. So that makes it challenging. But as far as looking, I can't say enough for, you know, you've got to get the materials that people are putting out and ask them questions. I don't know that there's a lot of simple words, because I do think that the candidates that are running, they're all parents. I will honestly say I've been on a lot of sessions with them. They all really care deeply about what's happening in the district, but their goals are somewhat different. Mm-hmm. So I think if you have someone who really focuses on the word safety, as opposed to thinking about the strategies for helping kids to deal with, you know, sort of conflict and even social emotional differences, or somebody who won't talk about the fact that, yes, a district might have a lot of inequalities around race, or might be uncomfortable talking about the gender expansive ideas, that those are all, you know, sort of signs of they're going to tell you how they fit with your own particular values. So I think those are ones that I would look for. When someone claims that a school district is very financially insecure, when in fact the district is not, you need to go and look at what your school district is saying about itself. Be aware if, hopefully, like ours, your school district is putting out regular reports and videotapes its school board meetings. I know that's a lot of work, but this is about your kids. Know about these elections, because they're important.
Yeah, absolutely. And a couple other terms we've been talking about, just to kind of read off here, is like things like age-appropriate education, parents' choice or parental rights is going to be big, transparency, protecting children, and back to basics. And
okay, yeah,
these are confusing because everybody wants these things, right?
Yeah, they and sound
that,
good. Yeah,
that sounds great, but you dig into them a little bit more and understand kind of where they're coming from. And like you said, Lynn, the majority of people trust teachers. They trust their schools to do a good job. And I think some of these candidates, not just in this community, but really all over the state and all over the country, that are coming from a far right perspective, they may be loud, but they do not represent what most of parents want, like you said. So I think that's really important to note there. And we're going to be working on a few more resources with those words, and also putting together some sample questions that people can use to bring to their candidate forums or things like that.
Yeah, and we'll get into the, you know, what do people mean by parental rights and parent, you know, because again, you can be as involved as you want right now in your kids' education. You can go to school board meetings right now, but we'll talk more about that in the coming weeks here. The one that I want to point out as well is whenever you have a candidate that focuses on taxes more than the student, look, nobody wants to pay more taxes than they have to. But if you've got a candidate with that whole run government like a business mentality, and, you know, I know, Kristen, you've mentioned some other school boards as well, where they talk primarily about the money. Lynn, I'm sure that if somebody's leading with the money talk, that's a red flag to you as well.
It is. And I think that's because, like I said, if you are claiming that a district doesn't use their resources well, or you're trying to stir up people and make them feel that they're paying for something they're not getting anything for. This came up at a forum recently, and I said, you know what? You might, and if you don't have kids, you still need to invest in the community. And some, if you're older and you had kids, someone invested in your kids. So, you know, we all pay into this community resource and we all thrive from it. And we can use the schools too. We have a lot of community opportunities in our schools. So it's not just about the kids.
Great. Thank you. One final question. And I mean, so many of us are out there trying to get educated ahead of the upcoming election in April. What if you could give your here's what I wish everyone would go do. What's the best way that parents and community members can educate themselves about what's happening in these races?
Well, there are a number of forums, and some of them are recorded and online, but mostly they're happening in person. So it's hard, I know, to get out there. The other thing I will say is I'm a candidate that's going door to door. And some of my, I have a big support team of about 70 volunteers. They're doing different things, but a good chunk of them are going door to door. And I would say if you could just answer the door when we come, we'd love to engage you and talk. And you can ask all the questions you want to at that point, and we'll be glad to take our time and tell you about who we are and why I'm running, why I'm making this effort to be a volunteer in a really big way.
There you go. I mean, it's as local as it gets. Lynn Worley, thank you so much. We appreciate hearing about how you want to serve your community. Kate, Nicole, can't thank you enough. We'll do it again in a couple of weeks with more issues, maybe more guests. But always good to see you too. Thank you so much for bringing this information to everybody today.
Thank you.
When we come back, we will have Civic Media News Director Terry Bell joining us with three things you should know to get the week started. That's coming up after a break and your local weather forecast. This is Up North News Radio for a Monday. I am reasonably certain that this is the old 97s, because that's what tells us that Terry Bell is standing by in the Civic Media newsroom to get us started with three things you should know to start the week. Good morning, Terry.
Hey, Pat, how are you?
Well, I'm really good, because Dr. Lyerly decided to hang on for the morning and kind of help me navigate what has been a typical Monday around here. So.
I'm like a burr on your pants after you went through a walk.
No, not at all. You're like holding the lantern as I try to navigate through here. But we did any show you can walk away from, and trust me, I'm going to walk away from this one in just a couple of minutes here. But not until Terry tells us about three things that you should know to start the week. And, you know, Terry, we'll start on a semi-serious note, because we are talking about the Ukraine invasion from Russia 1 year later.
It has been 1 year. Seems kind of hard to believe. But, that war has been on our minds and in our hearts for a long time. More than 14,000 dead and counting. That was the number in December, actually, the latest I could get from my searches. So pretty tragic on a lot of levels. President Biden was there on Friday, and the group of seven allied nations are showing their support. The United States pledging $2 billion in weapons to the efforts to fight back the Russian invasion by Ukraine. President Zelensky would like fighter jets. President Biden not certain he's ready to go there yet, but there is obviously a debate happening here at home as to what extent we should be spending to help the effort in Ukraine.
Yeah, and you know, it comes at a price. A Marshfield couple learned that their son had died fighting in Ukraine recently. And recall that we had an interview with Bryce Lechterhand about how he and his wife arranged to support a Ukrainian couple seeking to escape the war-torn country. And so you can look on our show page over at civicmedia.us to find that show with Bryce Lechterhand and find out how you can help with Ukrainians who are looking to potentially come to the United States. Kristen and I have talked once or twice that there were spring elections last week.
Yeah. And there are more, I hear. I hear there are more coming.
And there are more coming come April. That's right. So, but yeah, I mean, we know it's not just talking heads on the radio who are dealing with it. There's a lot of folks are watching this, Terry.
This race is getting nationwide attention. I think that's a point that's been made a few times over the past few weeks. And this is the reason, a lot of times when there's a race for Supreme Court in Wisconsin, it would not affect the ideological balance of the court. This certainly does. And not only will it tilt the balance of whether more justices are conservative or liberal in their philosophies, but there will be a number of very important cases coming before the court, most notably Attorney General Josh Call's lawsuit regarding the 1849 Wisconsin law and its constitutionality, which bans abortion in most cases. So there are a lot of hot button issues that the court will ultimately decide in all likelihood. Maps for instance, and there's a possibility. It's not crazy to think that the presidential race next mm-hmm. year could come down to Wisconsin and could end up before the court.
Right, as well as the state's 1849 abortion ban. Yep. All of these things are there. And the importance of it is underscored by the activity of certain groups. We often associate them with fall elections, but the group Conservation Voters of Wisconsin has put out a robust list of candidate endorsements right down to the county board level. And we're going to talk to someone from that group later this week and help you get informed about candidates and get you motivated to vote on or before April 4th, and Kristen's going to be banging that drum a lot about getting your absentee ballot. There's a place online where you can do that.
Oh, I know it. It's myvote.wi.gov. Go there now. It'll take you minutes. You could be done ordering your absentee ballot before we get off the radio.
It's so true.
And if I'm not wrong, I don't think the Conservation Voters group typically gets into the endorsement game, or am I wrong with that?
If they do, it's and it may not even be endorsement at the state level, but they certainly point out, you know, the legislators' records, if they're good or bad for natural resources. So it seemed to be what I saw from them looked like a little extra activity. And so we'll find out if that is indeed the case. Then the third thing we want to talk about is passenger rail expansion, which looks like it's going to be happening in Wisconsin earlier than we were thinking. And again, we have the bipartisan infrastructure law to thank for that, Terry.
Absolutely. And we will have a second line when this happens, assuming it will happen, between the Twin Cities and Chicago. Stops in Columbus, Portage, the Dells, Tomah, and La Crosse, just like the Empire Builder right now. But there'll be two more stops, Sturtevant and Mitchell Airport in Milwaukee. So it won't be any different than the Empire Builder. The only difference will be the Empire Builder will be a regional route. So
it runs all the way to Seattle. So if they're delayed in, you know, Butte, Montana or wherever, you know, it's going to cause a delay for people waiting in La Crosse to get to Chicago. So the thing to do is, yeah, they're going to keep the Empire Builder. They're just going to add a line that's just Chicago to St. Paul on a daily basis. You would, for example, leave St. Paul at 11 a.m. and get to Chicago by about 6:30. It's going to be called the Great River Route. And by the way, fun fact, Terry, Kristen, the Empire Builder was where Pat and Sherry Kreitlow spent their honeymoon.
Is that right?
Oh,
yeah. We got on the train in St. Paul. We took it through the mountains out to Seattle. And then we did that because the World's Fair was in Vancouver that year. Hmm. And so and somebody was afraid to fly back in those days. Okay. So he had the bright idea to get on a train. And I'll tell you what, that was a pretty good idea. That's a fun trip. Highly recommend it.
I hear it's a cool experience to go mm-hmm. cross country by train.
I've also done it leading a holiday vacations tour back when I was working for TV 13. We did Chicago to Reno and then to San Francisco and down the coast. Mm-hmm. And again, a lot of fun. Kristen, train trips for you at all?
I haven't, but you know who's really excited in my family about this? Ooh. My kids.
Oh, sure.
They don't like driving. They love the idea of having mm-hmm. a train to be able to get to Milwaukee or Chicago or wherever they want to go. So they are thrilled about the potential here.
Yeah. I took another holiday vacations group from Vancouver to Winnipeg through the Canadian Rockies. Just gorgeous. We so don't utilize our rail to its full potential. So to see this happening, and then there may be more coming in passenger rail in Wisconsin as we still try to make up for decisions made, you know, about a dozen years ago. But we'll get there. We'll catch up. Terry Bell has all of this and more from the newsroom of Civic Media throughout the week. Terry, we always appreciate the visit. Thanks so much.
Good to see you dry. Both, of course.
All right. Sounds good. And Kristen, thank you so much for hanging around today. I knew you love the motherhood for good folks as much as I do. You got us all hooked up and it's so great to see them active in the community.
Oh, I love that you are giving moms a voice. We have so much to say. So you giving us and them the platform to do that is just a beautiful thing, Pat. Thank you.
And a reminder, we will be talking to you for Hometown Health 7:30 on Thursday about the pink tax and the period tax. So
yeah,
be listening for that. You can follow me on Facebook, Pat Kreitlow Up North. You have a great Monday out there, and we'll see you tomorrow.